You are listening to an American Free Press podcast. Joining me on the line is Cynthia McKinney, former congresswoman from Georgia, who recently returned from a fact-finding mission in Libya. Congresswoman, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for asking me to be on your show.
Congresswoman, I'm reading from Wikipedia on the internet about your trip to Libya, and it says that last month in June, you visited the Gaddafi regime in Libya and accused NATO and the U.S. of trying to assassinate him. You also criticized the trade embargo on his regime and accused the mainstream media in the Western world of subjecting the population of the European Union and the United States to the largest propaganda blitz by their governments.
Well, that's a bit humorous. I haven't read any of that on Wikipedia, but I did do a fact-finding mission. I was invited by the Non-Governmental Fact-Finding Commission that is inviting a lot of people to visit and see for themselves. And actually, I've been talking about my experiences there after having written about them while I was there on a national tour across the United States. And just 2 days ago, we had an event, and one of the attendees at the event reminded me that on the day of the purported outbreak of violence, which was supposed to have occurred on February 15th, I believe, I was there in Tripoli along with about 15 other Americans who were also there attending a conference on Africans in the diaspora and Africans on the continent in this push for a United States of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very interesting. I did look at my passport and I saw that I re-entered the United States on February 17th. And, of course, this is when that was all supposed to have happened. But now that I have received this reminder from someone who was also there with me, that actually on the day of the purported firebombing of Tripoli, that we were in Tripoli, it just serves as further vindication for me of the fact that the idea of the special interest media telling me the truth about what was happening, as they say, the first casualty of war is the truth. So the reason I went back was because I could not believe what was purported to have happened during the travel days that I was returning to the United States along with other members of the delegation. But now I understand that this actually was supposed to have happened while we were all there. And of course, it did not happen. The very foundation of U.S.-NATO activities is a lie. And I can say that now that my memory has been jogged a little bit, because we were actually there. And I have read the newspaper article from Haaretz that quotes Al Jazeera as saying that this bombing of Tripoli was supposed to have taken place. I read that article and I absolutely could not believe it. And I understood what wartime propaganda was all about at that moment.
Right. Fortunately, you went there so you could come back with this report.
I understand the workings of demonization, and I have been fully demonized because I will go where the truth takes me. And so it was clear to me that there was some more investigation of these claims of what was happening in Tripoli that was needed. So I went with a team of investigative journalists, and it was clear that the American people had been lied to, just like the 935 times that our leaders lied to us in the run-up to the war against the people of Iraq so that there would be a favorable public opinion to support this war. But the American people are sick and tired of war. The American people are as sick and tired of war as I am sick and tired of war. I want, just as the U.S. Conference of Mayors recently voted, I want the war dollars to come home. Our hard-earned tax dollars are being squandered away by this leadership that doesn't have the guts to say no to the military, industrial, financial, media, prison complex.
Are you extremely disappointed in Obama's so far track record?
Disappointment would imply that there was expectation. What President Obama represents are the very strains inside the Democratic Party that had been suppressed until the moment at which they could become unleashed. And so that Democratic Leadership Council, DLC, type of policy that was very much in alignment with the less benevolent policies of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have seen the decided shift to the right, because now President Obama has even been able to do the things that no Republican would be allowed to do. Some of us understood that what the American people needed to vote for was policy change and not face change. But something has happened. And the something that has happened is this. The American people go to the polls and they vote. And they cast their vote for people who then get elected, and they are able to sit at a table of public policy and make policy for all of us. But something happened inside that room where the table of public policy is located, because there was a window where the people could look in and make sure that their representatives were doing what they were supposed to do for the people. But then there was a secret door. And inside the door was a key that only the special interests were allowed to turn. So the special interests were allowed to turn the key, walk into the room, and this is all in plain sight, walk into the room, whisper to the duly elected representatives of the people, and then all of a sudden the people don't get the policy that they deserve. They don't even get the policy that they expect. They don't get the policy that represents their values. I've traveled across this country, and I know that the vast majority of people in this country want peace. We have an entire program in the Pentagon now called perception management. So we have to understand that the 935 times that we were lied to by the press in the lead up to the war against the people of Iraq wasn't anything new. So if we understand not just what we want to know about the inner operations of our government, but what we need to know, then we also understand that it will take far more than just casting a vote for a predetermined candidate. We are going to have to groom our own candidates and then support our own candidates and then usher them into incumbency. That's the only way that we can understand honestly that the people that we vote for are going to remain true to the values of the people who actually voted for them. And even then, remember that the table of public policy is in this room where the special interests, until we change the way our elections operate and we change the way our democracy operates, that the special interests still have access to the room and the people only get to watch through the window. We do not have to be in this predicament that we're in, but it's going to take monumental change in our behavior, and that is probably the most difficult thing of all in order for us to achieve the kind of presidency and Congress and Supreme Court that the people of this country truly deserve.
From what you're saying, it sounds like right now we're not only going down the wrong path, but we might be too far gone. You're talking about remaking the entire political system. Do you think that there's hope for that, or do you think we are too far gone?
Well, it's a very difficult question, because there's nothing more that the current powers that be, that national leadership, would love than for us to give up. And then, of course, they have the entire field to themselves.
Right. Tell our listeners, Congresswoman, some of the things you saw in Libya on your trip there.
I just received a message, the wonders of the internet these days.
Right.
I got a message from a person in Russia who told me that there had been a tragedy, so to speak, that the NATO bombing had targeted the water supplies, the fresh drinking water, and that the water supplies that service approximately 70% of the people of Libya had been bombed. And not only that, but that the pipe manufacturing plant that services the Great Man-Made River Project was also destroyed. So this is exactly what happened in Iraq, where the United States targeted the fresh drinking water facilities for sabotage, and now we've had the same thing happen in Libya. This is very sad because Libya was, before the bombing started, Africa's most developed country, and now it will qualify as Africa's most bombed country.
What did you see when you were there?
I saw the bombs. I saw missiles. I saw blacks, dark-skinned people who looked like me, who were Libyans, because approximately 50 to 60% of the people of Libya are dark-skinned like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them afraid because of the division and hatred that has been sown by the NATO activities that now pit Libyan against Libyan, Libyan of lighter skin against Libyan of darker skin,
right,
which is crazy, but nonetheless, it's happening.
Did you visit any hospitals?
Yes, I visited hospitals, I visited schools, I visited Al-Fatah University, which had been bombed, and I talked to the students. They were in their final exam period, and so even though the classrooms were, you know, things falling, piles of rubbish and buildings damaged, that sort of thing, the students were there. They were determined that they were going to finish their studies on time, because I was there before the bombing and I was there after the bombing. And I have to tell you that it's a shame that we're literally destroying a country, but it wouldn't be the first time, because we destroyed Iraq.
Right. Right.
The United States. I don't even say we.
Right. That's what I was actually going to say. Before you said United States, then you said we, but it's not we. And it's what you mentioned. It's the military, industrial, media, prison, whoever
yes.
else you want to throw in their complex. Okay, that is who's doing it, obviously, because you or I mean, I have three sons. I couldn't kill an insect. It's not us, but
yeah.
it is this complex. But can we go deeper into that? Who are the major components, or what are the major components of this complex? Are there some names? Are there some faces?
Yes, there are some names, and I am a huge proponent of calling names. I'm a proponent of doing the research and understand what those names are.
Right.
And then calling those names, because you can't fashion a effective response or defense if you don't know from what you are trying to defend yourself.
I agree with you 100%. Who are some of the names?
Well, that is some of the research that I haven't done. However,
mm-hmm.
there is an intrepid young researcher who has begun to do the research, and maybe someone will hear this interview and they will take up where this person left off. Here are the findings thus far. I have often said that our president put into place the very people who created the oligarchs of Russia today. And that economic team that was first announced by our president was responsible for taking advantage of the dissolution of the Soviet Union and the rebirth of Russia, the new Russia, the state-owned properties that were supposed to be the patrimony of the Russian people became privately owned by 10 individuals. Now, we know the names of those 10 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons that Putin became so vilified in this country, was because he began to wrest the patrimony that belonged to all of the Russian people away from some of those oligarchs. The same thing is happening in our country, what I call the oligarchization of the U.S. economy. And what this one researcher did was he looked at who the major investors were into the major financial houses of the United States prior to the so-called economic crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Then he took a look at who they were afterwards. And if the U.S. economy is a Titanic, the chairs on the deck have definitely been switched. There is merry-go-round. Some people have fallen off. and other people are able to take a seat. Remember that table of public policy? There's also a table of economic policy. And that's a separate room, but it's all supposed to be the same people. It's not. There are winners and losers in President Obama's policy. The winners are the people whose names we need to know. And many of them operate these wealth funds. And those wealth funds have now become the major investors in certain financial houses. Those wealth funds are led by people who have names. And if you compare who were the people before and who are the people now, then you can know exactly who the winners are. And I would venture to say that they have their representatives, they have their operatives, whose names then show up on financial disclosures and in other kinds of non-disclosures with the elected leadership of our country. So this is a project really for some university students or individuals who have a lot of time on their hands and who want to look into this matter more closely. I would certainly be willing to discuss with someone who wants to do this research and then help make it public, because we need to know who really is pulling the strings. We need to know who's pulling the strings that makes our country go to war when the people don't want war. We need to know who's pulling the strings that makes our country sacrifice yet another generation of veterans when we want to respect our veterans and make sure that we don't create another generation of veterans.
Right. Incidentally, you were the first African-American woman to serve the House from Georgia, isn't that correct?
Yes.
So you're certainly familiar with how Capitol Hill operates, and you know a lot of the people that are still there. Why do you think it is that Congress on the whole is finding it so difficult to say that this is wrong, what we're doing? The president is violating the War Powers Act. Why do you think it's so difficult for them to say, let's just end this and get out of there?
Well, one measure is political posturing. That comes when people want to seek an advantage, a political advantage, and they don't care that people are dying. That political advantage can also be had when you pull on the heartstrings of division and hatred. And that happens a lot in U.S. politics where, you know, you can demonize somebody, and if you're the one who's doing the demonization, you can get ahead, even though everything you say might not be true at all. But nobody's going to bother to do the research like I was suggesting. We need to do this research so we can understand who really is pulling the strings. So you've got to have a more active citizenry that are willing to do this kind of research and then stand up and be counted. And then you've got to have people who are willing to say, no, I'm not going to vote for you. If peace is our value, then we have to say, if you have voted to finance war, we're not going to support you. Period. No comma, no semicolon, period. So in a way, everything that a political campaign is for either the Democrats or the Republicans is to provide the voter with a rationale to replace the period with a comma and then a but, and then they've won. So every time we step away, we the voters, from our values and place a comma and a but and then go into the voting booth and vote like we've always voted, then we're going to continue to get what we've always gotten. And that's the measure of insanity if you think that things are going to change just by doing what you've always done.
Right. Now, if some listeners want to join your, let's call it a crusade, because it probably is, because we're going up against a monolith, they want to join and assist you, can they go to some websites? Is there something they can do to help out?
Well, they can visit dignity.ning.com. That's dignity.ning.com. And then, of course, I've got Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. I have all of those that are kept by other people, volunteers.
Right.
And if people want to communicate directly with me, I'm particularly interested in this research. And if I can't find people who are willing to help, then I might just have to do it myself, although I'd rather concentrate on other things. But this is a critical bit of information for us to know who the new oligarchs that are being created by current policy. We must know who the winners are. We know who the losers are. The losers are us.
Right.
So people can reach me at Cynthia@runcynthiarun.org. Again, that's Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A, Cynthia@runcynthiarun.org.
Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners, and looking forward to the next time we could speak.
I look forward to the next time, too.